Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Richard Cosgrave is with us on the line today because Richard's a teacher who is from Ireland, moved to Dubai to spend some time teaching there. He's moved back home, though, to Ireland. Are you glad you moved back, Richard?
Hi, Andrea. Yeah, thanks for having us on. Yeah, look, to some point, it's a great country. I love being here. My family are here. I love teaching in schools here in Ireland. But it hasn't been easy. And, to say that, the transition back to Ireland is a normal one or a very straightforward one, it's not the case at all,
And, in what way, Richie?
Well, I suppose one of the things was I returned in 2018 and I applied for the incremental credit, which means that my teaching time abroad was recognised. Now, I want to square this away. I left in 2014 when there was no work in Ireland. It wasn't the case that I said, I'm going to go out here for the sun or for the weather or to play GAA out or whatever. That wasn't a choice at all. There was no work here. I'd done a bunch of interviews around the place. Had spent 5 years in college, owed money to family members that I had to repay, so I left and went abroad to work and try and repay that debt. As first opportunity I got, I returned in 2018, started working back here in Ireland, had my documents with me to say I'd worked in the UAE, had that forwarded to the Department of Education from the UAE, and when I got my first paycheck, it was back in pay scale one, I got a letter shortly afterwards from the department saying that my incremental credit was going to be refused. Because I'd worked in a secondary school that was a private school out there. Now, the real kick about all this was I had colleagues who were in the same school as me. My wife, who was a Canadian teacher, was working in the same school. I met her in the school. She got it. My colleagues got it. Because I was working in the secondary school section of the school. My wife and my colleagues were working in the primary section.
Why would that matter?
I don't know. And this is, I saw Minister Foley talk about this yesterday, that she was want to make it overly attractive for people going away. This is discrimination. There's inequality here. It's crystal clear. I've had colleagues and good friends who returned home who worked in secondary schools out there in the UAE that were publicly funded. They got the increment. So the department has made a decision that the only section that do not get incremental credit are those working in privately funded schools.
Okay, so it's the private school. And I imagine, I know one or two close friends that are teaching out actually in UAE, in Oman and other places. So it's if you're teaching in a secondary school, because a lot of the secondary schools probably, a lot of them are international schools. That's where a lot of the Irish and the English teachers go, isn't it? That's the issue. Exactly. So if you're in the primary section out in Dubai or Oman or wherever you are, Abu Dhabi, and you're teaching, you're grand when you come home. That'll all be taken into account. But if you go into a private secondary school, you're snookered.
Exactly that. But this is the thing. Some schools are partly funded by the state out there. Some are not. You won't know until you come home and apply for incremental credit at home. So they will have the paperwork. They will hold the paperwork until you return to Ireland and you start to teach. And after you start to teach, you get your first pay packet, and that shows you where you are on the pay scale. So for me, it was straight back to pay scale one because I'd left just after graduating,
And it wasn't like you left a full-time job here, Richie.
No. Look, those who are out there with me know my background story. I returned to education as a mature student. I was a landscape gardener before that. I had worked incredibly hard, during the Celtic Tiger. Didn't work out. Things went pretty bad when the recession hit. I went back to college in 2009, trained up, to become a teacher. Knew this would be a secure job. Knew that you'd be treated fairly as part of this job. When I graduated in 2014, there was still no work there. So I had no option but to emigrate, And like I said, first chance I got, I was on a plane back home to Ireland, to work here.
And then you've come home and you might as well never have went. You're on the pay scale that you would have started on had you've stuck it out in Ireland.
Exactly, Andrea. And this is something that doesn't go away. I'm back in Ireland now teaching, 6 years, I'm still on pay scale 7, you can't recoup this time that you've lost, and this affects obviously pension, this affects, mortgage applications based on your income, so there's so many other factors affected by this, and like I said, I kind of took it for granted, I knew the system was in place, I went abroad, came back first opportunity, and like I said, it's only when you're back home, I figure out, this is a serious issue for now, me, a financial issue.
You yeah, know, and I know people listening to this, Richie, I've no doubt now they're going to text in and they're going to say, but sure, you were earning a load of money out in Dubai. You were probably earning double the salary of the teachers in Ireland.
Yeah, but I'd come to a time, I left during recession in this country, where I was, you know, working a part-time job at the weekend, trying to pay for college. I had to pay for my postgraduate. That was €7,000. I had to borrow that from family and friends. So when I left, you know, it was either I was going to stay in Ireland and keep my part-time job at the weekends in the bar and try and, you know, try and pick up a few hours sober during the week if they were available, or else I would go abroad, you know, get some capital together, be able to repay my debt and actually hopefully start to put some equity together. You know, it was, I had no choice in the matter, to be completely honest about it. It was a very straightforward decision I had to make.
The reason we're talking about this today, Richie, the Association of Secondary Teachers in Ireland, the ASTI is, of course, listeners will know them as, their conferences are on at the moment, and they've passed a motion to look. They want all of the years of teaching service that every teacher does, that should be included now in the calculation of the increment credit. So you're effectively the example of what they're talking about.
Yeah, exactly that, Andrea. And it's something that's important too, because hey, if nurses go abroad, if doctors go abroad, they bring this back, this experience that they've gained abroad. I have massive experience from working in the UAE. All my colleagues out there gained huge experience from working in the UAE. We worked with different curricula. We worked with students of different abilities and different languages. And we've brought all that back to Ireland. And like, the demographic of this country is changing hugely. We have this experience. You know, I was in a classroom where I was the minority, you know. I was the only English speaker in the classroom, you know. So you have this skill set, and you have this compassion and understanding. And even, you know, simple examples like we've kids now who came in from Syria, you know. I was the go-to. I was the point of contact for these kids. You know, I knew how to deal with them. I made other staff aware when Ramadan was on, you know, different religious festivals, you know, that we don't know about in this country.
Okay.
But
so,
our students...
Because I know a lot of people will feel, you know, sure, what is really the benefit, you know, of the skill set that's picked up out in the UAE? But you feel that in an ever-changing Ireland, it is beneficial.
Well, we're supposed to be inclusive, yeah. And we need to, you know, we are an island on the west coast of Europe. We can be insular in certain ways. We need to, you know, we've got massive diaspora all around the world. And we can't shut out the knowledge that they have. You can't just keep going the way we're going here. Like, we, you know, it is, we have more people coming to this country. We have to be able to figure out how to deal with them in a proper manner, respectful manner, you know.
Will you stay with us, Richie? Because I've a couple of other people who are listening to you. I take it they're probably teachers, maybe in similar situations. It's 087-1400-106. Martina's on the line. Martina, what's your experience?
Well, it's similar to Richie's, but unlike Richie, I wasn't in Dubai or any Arab country. And I think that's something that's important to recognise as well. There's teachers who are coming home from, or would like to come home from, places like Switzerland, Australia, Asia, South America as well. So it's not just people who are coming from the Emirates or Saudi Arabia. And the other thing is, you know, I'm a teacher. I came back and I started work in 2017 from South America. So like that, I had no awareness that my experience, which I've had in the UK and outside non-EU countries, wouldn't be recognised. And, you know, I think, you know, as listeners will appreciate, you know, the success of the students in secondary level here, you know, it doesn't just depend on the students and their hard work and their support from home, but it also depends on the kind of the expertise and support and care offered by teachers. And teachers who are well qualified and who are experienced professionals. And, you know, Ireland has a well-deserved reputation for having a highly qualified workforce. And that just doesn't happen by accident. That happens by having people who are good at their job, who have a wide range of experience. And, you know, as Richie alluded to, if you do work in other systems, then you do come back with a vast range of skills. And, you know, this unequal treatment of teachers returning home has been going on for many years. And we, you know, there's a group of us, we've been forced to take legal action to rectify it. And we're actually hoping that the department, the teaching council, the unions, we'll do the right thing and bring an end to the practice.
Okay, so this is on the motion that's, yeah, on that we mentioned, the ASTI. Okay.
Well, no, this is, yeah, we're following a separate route, but we're fully committed to pursuing like our legal rights.
Okay, yeah.
But I think, you know, the one thing I would stress is a country is only as good as the people that are in it. And we are very lucky here. I know the education system isn't perfect, but it is very good. And if Ireland doesn't want to take these teachers, other countries would be more than delighted to have them.
Well, that's the point. Yeah, that's the point. But I suppose then it's, you know, should we recognise that experience and that professional work that's been carried out abroad when teachers come home. What about you, Amy? You've been listening to Martina and Richie there. Are you somebody who, when you came back to Ireland, your work just wasn't taken into account?
My experience is actually a little bit different than Martina and Ricky. I'm here to talk about like the amendment that was made to the Teaching Council's registration. So in January of last year, the Teaching Council sent out an email stating that they, due to the teaching crisis, they were going to amend the requirements for teachers in Ireland. And if you had an international degree, they were inviting you to complete your induction period in Ireland and to register as a teacher here.
So this is people, if you actually went to college abroad, is it?
Yeah, so anyone with an international degree. So at this point in time, I was considering between doing an international degree in teaching or going to Hibernia and doing a master's in teaching. But to do a degree in another country is just so much cheaper than it is. It's much more affordable. So when I got this email from the Teaching Council, I chose to do a master's in teaching in the UK. I did a PGCE in education in the University of Sunderland. And prior to enrolling in this master's, I was in constant contact with the Teaching Council, inquiring with them if this master's would qualify me under this new amendment. And at that point in time, they had no concerns. I obviously looked into all of the information that was available to new people making that decision at this time. And like my choice was fine. There was no obvious concerns. So I went, and like both other Martina has said and Richie, I put myself into debt to do a master's degree to become a qualified teacher to teach in Ireland. And at that point, the Teaching Council, when I came to them after being qualified and I asked them what's the next step, they had changed the requirements so that I didn't meet them anymore. The advice of the Teaching Council at the moment is that I need to emigrate. That's the advice I've been given by numerous people quite high up in the Teaching Council. I need to go away and work in another country for 2 years before they're going to recognise the degree or the
And sorry, where I presume based on the conversation we've had with Richie today, Amy, you nearly need to be careful where you work.
Yeah, well, I work with people who've had similar situations to Richie as well. A lot of people that I know would have worked abroad and would have gotten the email that I got and taken that as an invitation to come home. And I've heard of people that have had to go back to where they were originally working, like leaving the Emirates to come home, uprooting their families, like leaving jobs, taking new jobs, only to be in Richie's situation and having all of their experience not being recognised.
So what are you going to do?
What am I going to do?
Yeah.
Well, at the moment, I'm trying really hard to find it. I think the information that was shared originally by the Teaching Council was incorrect. It contradicts itself. And I think a lot of people are now in a position where they're at debt and in debt and left with nothing to, like, not knowing where their next step will be. So I'm trying to get them to make an exception or to take some accountability of what they did and, like, just make it easier for people to register to teach here. Like I said, like, I've been teaching for 3 years.
Yeah.
Two of those years I was unqualified and subbing, and there was no issue in me not being qualified enough to teach in this country until I had a degree from another country.
Okay. Simon Lewis is the host of the If I Was the Minister for Education podcast. Simon, is it just the case that maybe, you know, a lot of teachers maybe just aren't aware that if you go away to other countries of the likes of some of the Emirati countries, that when you come home, like in some cases that work's just null and void?
Yeah, it certainly sounds that way, Andrea. And, you know, I actually wasn't aware that some teachers are recognised until I heard Richie's there.
Story. I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought nobody was recognised. And but, I mean, if some people are and some people aren't, I mean, it makes absolute sense to create some sort of equal-based system. And, I mean, I think the main problem we have in Ireland right now is we have a shortage of teachers, and we have done for the last 7 or 8 years. I know when Richie was looking for work in 2014, I'm a principal. In my day job, I was getting maybe 500 applications for a maternity leave post. But 2 years later, I was barely getting 10 applications for jobs. So, I mean, things have changed, and they remain. So I mean, from my point of view, I think whatever it takes to ensure that we have enough teachers working in our schools, we should be doing whatever that takes. And if that means, you know, recognising service wherever it's been given, and recognising qualifications from internationally, as your last speaker was saying, then we should probably do that.
Because there's obviously more people, Simon, than a lot of us might have thought, that are in this sort of a, you know, predicament at the moment. When you take Amy and Richie's story, and even Martina as well, I have other texters too talking about Madrid and other places into account.
Yeah. I mean, I qualified in the UK myself a long, long time ago, over 20 years ago now. And similarly, like this is before the Teaching Council, you know, brought in all their rules, which seemed to change quite a lot. In my day, you had to get your Irish language qualification after. And also, if you wanted to teach in a religious school, which most schools, you'd have to get a religious certificate. But other than that, you were kind of OK. But I think things have been complicated a lot. And there's a really, really good project out there called the Migrant Teachers Project. So this is for people who have their qualifications internationally. They work in Merino College with teachers like that, who can help them get themselves into schools. But, you know, again, success has been quite limited, and time and time again, it's the Teaching Council's over-regulation, they would suggest, and the shifting of the goalposts that are causing it.
Okay.
So I think things need to really change there.
INTO General Secretary John Boyle is with us on the line today. John, you've heard, you know, Amy and Martina and Richie's stories there. Is this system, the incremental calculation, the credit system, is that going to change?
It's discrimination, Andrea, and at the same time, it's fantastic to hear that Martina and Richie did return, and obviously we'd be hoping to ensure that Amy won't leave. And that's what our conference here in Derry has been speaking about all week. It's the recruitment retention crisis. Just to clarify a few things on the increment credit scheme. So in the primary sector, our union negotiated that any teacher who teaches outside of the EU can get up to 7 years of incremental credit. So in effect, if you're away for 7 years, when you come back here, you'll take seven steps up the
It's like you never left.
Well, yeah, up to a maximum of 7 years. But Richie talked about 2014. That's 10 years ago. And in the 3 years up to 2014 and the subsequent 2 years, a lot of our best and brightest teachers were driven out of this country, not because of the lack of jobs. That was certainly a factor due to the cuts to the education sector. But also, we must remember that their pay was cut by 25% as well. Now, we have restored that since. But in terms of incremental credit, so in primary, if you're outside the EU, you can get 7 years max. Whereas if you are working within the EU, and also including the UK, because up until recently it was within the EU, you can get every single year that you are working in a recognised state school abroad. Obviously, at the STINTUI conference, they're particularly perturbed about the fact that they don't even have equality with us in the primary sector.
Well, it does seem bizarre. Like, is it Richie's situation that, you know, his wife comes home as a primary teacher and her situation is rectified, and he comes home as a secondary teacher and he's sort
yeah,
of... Like,
but
he's,
at the same time, Andrea, what we're actually trying to do, and of course we're supporting the STI and the TUI to get parity with us, but we are actually looking for every teacher who has been abroad in a recognised school particularly, that those teachers would get full credit. And we've even proposed to the Department of Education as a special measure to try to bring back the 4,800 young Irish registered teachers who we know are working abroad. Now, there may well be a lot more, including people who qualified overseas and never registered here in the first place.
Well, just what you know.
But we know there's 4,800 abroad.
Put this,
and we believe that they should be providing every single one of them for the next couple of years at least with maximum incremental credit to try to get them back here. Now, there's a lot more things we need to do,
okay,
and we're doing that.
Yeah,
at our
okay.
conference.
Let me just put this text to you. It's from a retired school principal, John, right? This is hard to believe. Teachers take leave, they go off to Dubai, regardless of the fact that their school school may not be able to get a replacement for them. If the school gets a replacement, the young teacher who fills in for them has no job security while they hold the post for the teacher by choice, who's making very good money while they're away.
Yeah, well, this actually was mentioned here, that young people in Ireland used to, they used to save to leave, but now they have to leave to save because they have to go and get a deposit for a house. And I'm sure any retired teacher, I'm getting close to that stage myself in the next 10 years, would love to see our young people staying here and having a home like we had an opportunity years ago. No, you see, the teachers who are replacing the teacher who went abroad do have wonderful security because our trade unions have negotiated that on the first day of your third year in the school that you get permanent status. So huge measures have been put in place to incentivize people to stay here, but they ripped out the promotion system out of schools. They cut the teachers' pay. Any allowances that you get for trying to improve yourself, upskill yourself, do your master's, your doctorate, your special education diplomas, they've all been stripped out. But we managed to negotiate the public service period,
so
a fund where we'll be able to get those things back. So I'm begging the people to come back and not to leave.
Okay,
it has to be more than me begging. Without the government, they're going to have to cough up the money.
Right, okay. Well, we want to hear from more of those teachers as well. Lunchtime live at newstalk.com is the email. There's a texter here who says, I'm a teacher who lived in Madrid for 6 years and on my return, I was able to claim back all of my incremental years. My wages are great. I teach full-time in Buncrana and Donegal. They're crying out for teachers. I've taught in England, Madrid, Derry, and the best place to teach by far is Ireland. There's amazing treatment. There's no real pressure from management. And the teachers are trusted, according to this listener.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.